Hey, TJ. Happy Tuesday.
Well,
Wednesday, actually. Sorry, Wednesday. Wednesday.
Well, you know what? Time doesn't exist, so happy all days to you. I mean, it's not...
I like that better. Thank you. You always have my back so graciously. You really are wonderful.
We live in a universe that really doesn't have time, so therefore, you can say whatever day you want, really. Right?
Okay, let's shoot for a Tuesday, not Wednesday.
Okay.
Okay. So, but anyway, I heard you guys have some nice weather today, right?
We have some, yeah, today we do, and then it's going to, boy, spring's just taking forever. Do you know this shift thing is really becoming a pain, isn't it?
I know. It's really apparent, though, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Everything is changing.
You think Ma Earth would stop shifting sooner or later. You know, Gaia, okay, I'm done now. Let us know. Can you send up a flare? Okay, we're all good.
I know. Let's just stop and think. She's had to go through so much time balancing.
And she's had to put up with me and the likes of us and, you know, stuff like that for a long time.
Well, I want you to know I have it on good authority. She adores you. So
does she
no
really?
Worries.
Wow.
Yes. Yes, she does.
You know what? I adore her, too. And I think she's a little hot, to be honest with you.
You are incorrigible.
I'm in a mood today. And you know
I
what?
See that.
We did something, we've done a number of shows now, and I know we got some more lined up here. But you have a very special guest we're going to talk to today, somebody that's involved with Soul Support System. And so I thought, well, maybe we should bring her on and introduce her, see who we have.
Oh, that sounds great. Jane, are you there?
I am.
Hi. Everyone, this is Jane Stewart. Yes, and
Hi,
she is the president of Soul Support Systems. And we're very excited to have you on with us today, Jane.
Yes,
Thank
we are.
You. Well, I'm the president of the board of directors, actually.
Well,
we're a nonprofit educational organization, so I'm fulfilling that role this year.
And a fine job you're doing, Jane.
Exactly. I voted for you in the last election, Jane, just so you know.
You did. You were the absentee ballot, the mysterious one.
See that? You're getting support from everywhere, Jane, even the unknown.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I'm really eager to do this interview, as I know TJ is with you. I've known you for years, and my experience of you is, you know, you're a soul traveler who's had so many experiences, and that's how I think of you, but I'm wondering, how do you think of yourself? How would you define yourself?
Well, it's interesting that you call me a soul traveler. You mentioned that to me a few weeks ago, and I've been thinking about that since, and it's an intriguing way to look at life, I think, and in a sense, I would say that that's accurate, because ever since I was very young, I have really known when my soul was speaking to me, my inner guidance was speaking to me, and there have been times when I have really followed it and times when I didn't, and I've seen the difference in the results that happened for me. So now I'm a grandmother, so I've lived a good long life, and looking back on it, it's been a wonderful journey and a winding road, but a really very beautiful one.
So you said you started. I know it's beautiful because I've seen how you flourish, and I have seen, as they say, the fruits of what you grow. I think it's just beautiful, but I'm also wondering... when you said that things started when you were a child, do you remember the first time that you noticed your soul speaking to you or heard your own intuition?
I don't remember the first time, but I know that I felt most alive, and that's that's the way I still feel it now. You know, when I have rising energy in me to do something or to experience something, I know that that's my inner guidance. That's my inner voice speaking to me, which in a sense I think is the same as my soul. I used to love being in nature. Mm. I was very much at home in it and got outside every chance I could. I grew up in Kentucky along a river, and there were woods nearby, and I would go out into the woods and look for mosses. Actually, one of the first memories I have was wanting to create little woods on a, it was a cookie sheet, actually, that I'd take out in the woods with me, and I'd pick up mosses and leaves and twigs and bring them back home. I remember I had a tiny little mirror that I put on the cookie sheet and arranged the mosses and flowers and leaves and twigs around it, and the little mirror was my pond. And I would look into it and just let my imagination go.
Wow.
So
wow.
That was one of those fun things I did when I was a child. I loved animals and nature.
Sure. And in your animal and nature experiences, did you come across any fairies, gnomes, or leprechauns?
Yes.
You
I'm
did?
Sure I did. Well, yes, you know, when you're young, all those little lights that are kind of brightly sparkling and magical places that call to you, whether you can see them or not, I think are part of the spirits of nature that we are really attuned to. When we're very young, very open, you know, before we have more experience in the world and the world's conditioning and beliefs tend to cause us to question whether or not that's accurate or true or simply something we made up. But as a child, it's very, very real.
Mm-hmm. So you experienced some of the magic. How cool is that? Yes.
Yes, and my grandchildren do too, so I still see it, you know, with them.
Mm-hmm. And now that you're an adult, right, do you sometimes see the creatures now? Have you seen the fairies or anyone? Or do
I see things that have little motion sometimes outside the corner of my eye, not when I'm looking directly at something, but I sense things more than I see them normally. And so sometimes I will feel the presence of some spirit or something, you know, nearby. Sometimes strange things happen that I am surprised by. For example, last summer I was sitting on my patio watching the birds fly around and looking at flowers, and a bird flew directly toward me. I mean, really made a beeline for me, circled around the right side of my head and fluttered into around and into my left ear and just took off again. And I thought, that bird did that on purpose. You know, it was a bird. Was it a bird? I don't know. And then another one flew around the door and into the house and sat on my kitchen counter and just looked at me and flew out again. So I would say those are magical moments.
Absolutely.
That I can't really explain.
You know what kind of bird it was, Jane?
The one that flew around my head was a black bird, a small black one. And I do see crows quite a bit. They come around, and or they fly over my head, or often happens a hawk will fly right over, directly over my head, and I think, oh, there's a message there of some sort. So I go inside and try to feel what the message might have been. Well, pay attention to those things.
Well, the crows, aren't those, are those are kind of a mystical, connected to a mystical thing, Joy?
Yeah. The birds are connected to the fairy realm. They are. That feels like your nature connection with birds is really your door to the fairy realm.
Maybe it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about that. So when you went inside, right, and you checked in, did you hear like a specific message, or did you find that when this happened, were you able to put what it was that drew this interaction, what the purpose of it was?
The bird that flew around my head appeared shortly after my dear ranger, my golden retriever, passed away. In that same yard. He was my wonderful companion for 12 years, and he loved to fetch, and he had, I was throwing the tennis ball to him, threw a big, good throw to him, he leaped into the air, caught the ball, and collapsed, and started making his transition. And it was a painful time, and he passed over within about 20 minutes.
Wow.
It was a graceful way of departing. And I felt that the bird that flew around my head may have been some kind of comfort or a message from him. But when the hawk flew over, I had been pondering a life decision. Mm-hmm. And after it flew over, I felt much more clarity about what that decision should be.
Beautiful. So nature actually comes to you and comforts you and communicates and supports your transitions in this way.
Yes.
That's so beautiful. Yeah. Wow, Jane. You go, girl. So, I do have a question too. Like in this process of following your soul and going in and learning to listen to your guidance and that sort of thing, have you ever felt that that upset the apple cart for you, or what was in following your soul's calling? Do you feel like that really created some reaction around you, or where did it?
Yes, at times it really did. I remember one time that was a significant one. My three children were grown, mm-hmm. and I was pretty restless with the business that I had at the time. I had a training and consulting company and did a lot of teaching in government agencies in D.C., businesses, and it just wasn't feeding my spirit anymore, and I was restless with it, and not quite knowing what to do. And I had an opportunity, this was in 95, to sell my house and to move up to Vermont to be with Flo Magdalena, who is the executive director of Soul Support Systems. Some land was bought up there, 200 acres. There was a house on it, and there was real interest in creating an intentional community up there. A few of us, 5, 6, 7, wanted to go and live there. And I really thought about that. Should I do that, or should I take another career move that also was interesting to me, which was some international work that I had begun and could have developed more of? Anyway, I asked myself the question, you know, what should I do? And the answer that I received was, follow your heart. So I followed my heart, and I decided to move to Vermont. And I had been a suburban mom. I had lived a very middle-class life. And when I went up to rural Vermont, and lived in a very small house with people I didn't even know very well, my children particularly thought I had gone off the deep end. And that something really horrendous had happened, and they were quite worried about me. And so it destabilized my relationship with them for a while, because they weren't quite sure who I was anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
during the 2 years that I lived in Vermont, I really learned a lot about group dynamics in the community, about, the spirit that guides us, the challenges that come in trying to live together in harmony and on purpose and with purpose, and the beauty of it, too. It was an interesting experience. After 2 years, I realized that it was time for me to go back, into the world again. Mm-hmm. So I moved back down to the D.C. area very intentionally. I lived there for a year, and my purpose was to really reconnect with my children and let them know that I really was the mom that I had always been. I was changed, yes, yeah, by this experience, but I still loved them, and they were a dear, dear part of my life. So I have seen that sometimes in making choices that were unexpected or out of my norm, that it has really tipped over the apple cart a couple of times.
Yeah, but each time it did that, do you feel you've grown?
Oh, yes. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so it really had a positive effect on you.
Oh, yes, it really did. I think of my life as this big tapestry that I weave different colored threads into, and every time I have an experience, sometimes they're very challenging experiences, sometimes they're very light and easy experiences. Each one of those is a color. And I weave that thread into the tapestry of my life, and every one of them forms this beautiful fabric. So I really don't have very many regrets of
wonderful
things that I've, of choices that I've made. I've always learned something from them.
Yes. So you live a life of a holographic reality then, right?
As
yeah.
much as I can.
Yeah, yeah. TV is quiet back there. I want to see what
I do. Well, I like to live creatively. I like to live on a creative edge of things. So when things get sort of boring or tedious or routine, my life force diminishes a little bit, and I always am aware of when that happens. And so I wait for whatever rising energy comes so that I really feel what direction to take next.
That's beautiful, you know. I like you, have a very low threshold to boredom. How about you, TJ?
That depends what it is, not so much, I guess. I'm pretty much at peace just about whatever I'm doing. Just about anything.
Yeah, but so you're not bored in general?
Not usually. Nice. No, I can't say that I am.
Yeah.
I suppose if I sat and did nothing and just sat all the time, maybe I'd go, maybe I should be doing something.
Uh-huh.
But I like you, Jane, I like to be out in nature. I live out in the country, and it's just, to me, it just makes my heart sing, makes my soul happy to be out there.
Yeah.
Did your kids, do you feel they got anything out of, I'm sure they did, right? All that, now that you're back to being a somewhat normal mom, so-called normal mom, do you feel, but you feel they must have got something out of it too. Maybe they're learning to let go a little bit.
I think so. Yes. I mean, they now are grown and have children of their own, and they are very engaged in raising their families. The children are young. They're ages 1 to 9, 6 of them. And, so I know where they are in their lives, and they're very busy. They are very dedicated to their families and to their work, and so they're living a more, I would say, routine life than I live now. Mm-hmm. But what they do see is that I follow my own soul's callings, although I don't always call it that, and I think they admire it in a certain way, that maybe I'm a role model or something, that I will try something new. I will take a turn that I haven't taken before and see where it goes. So I think it helps them to see that they can live creatively as well.
Yeah, that is inspiring to people, Jane. And it's not just inspiring to your kids. It's inspiring to those of us that know you and people around you that you do that. And you do it so beautifully. You do it with such grace. Seriously.
Thank you. Well, lately I've been drawn to do strange things that I have no idea why.
That's
strange, unexpected. Like, well, for example, I wanted to take acting lessons. And
yay.
I live about an hour and a half, 2 hours from Washington, D.C. now in Western Maryland, but I knew that the Shakespeare Theater Company down on Capitol Hill in D.C. was a wonderful company with great teachers, and I decided to take a class there. Well, I drove 2 hours to get to class and then 2 hours back home, and that was followed by my, where this came from, I don't really know. I wanted to take belly dancing classes. And so I found a wonderful class at the community college here and enjoyed that with women of all ages and shapes and sizes. And,
beautiful.
You know, discovered, you know, my own energy flowing in my body in a way that I hadn't for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently took a storytelling workshop down in Asheville, North Carolina. So there are things about presence, developing my own sense of my presence within my body in new and expressive ways that are just bubbling up for me right now. So I don't know if I'll do anything, quote, with that, or if it's simply just for my own pleasure and I feel alive, you know, when I do
that. Yeah. You're enjoying the journey, Jane.
I am.
Beautiful. So I know you also like to support other people, right? And you want to see them flourish. Is there ever anything or anything you did, or was there ever a time where you felt like you supported someone at the expense of your own self? Something where you gave yourself away? And what were the consequences if you did?
Oh, goodness.
I know. That's
the answer is yes.
Isn't it? That's a great question, though, isn't it?
I really do like to see people bloom and flourish, as you said, and I really have a desire to support people. And let's see, what, I'll pick an example. Well, I could say that in relationships that I've had, you know, a life partner, for example, there was a time where I gave to that relationship as much as I could, more than I probably should have, in the sense that, and this was my choice, I did it.
Sure.
Now I have to take my own responsibility for my life here.
I hear you.
but
I know that one.
I supported this person at the expense of myself. I could feel my energy kind of depleting, and I just kept doing everything I can to be supportive during a particularly difficult time in this person's life. I thought I was being helpful, and perhaps I was, but at the same time, what I learned looking back on it is that it doesn't serve myself or anyone else if I don't keep my own self in balance.
Absolutely.
And by that I mean my physical body, my mental body, my emotional, spiritual bodies, all four of those in balance, then I have enough overflow to really give. But when I deplete myself, I don't serve anyone as well as I could.
Yeah. That, I think, is such an important lesson to learn for all of us, you know, the importance of staying in balance. So what did you do to find your way back to yourself?
Well, I really needed to take some time on my own to live by myself for a while and to rediscover what made me happy, what brought me joy, what new things I wanted to pursue. And it also meant spending a lot of time in solitude at that time. I needed quiet space. I needed time to reflect, to walk, to be by the waters, to be in the woods, again in nature. That made a big difference. It helped a lot. And in doing that, in the solitude, and giving myself the time and the permission to take time just for me was extremely valuable, because then I was able to listen again, hear my own soul's voice speaking to me. And sometimes it said, do nothing. Because I, like many people, have felt that a lot of my value came from doing things. Doing things in the world, doing things for other people, being useful. And in simply doing nothing or very little for an extended period of time, I kind of recalibrated, I guess. I began to pay attention and say, well, where am I now? Who am I? What parts of me that have been dormant want to express themselves?
Sure.
So I took that time. It made a difference. It was wonderful.
Yeah. I believe it. I believe it. I see who you are now. Amazing. So as you went through that, was there, like, any modalities or anything you did to, was there metaphysical modalities, I'm thinking, or anything you used to support you with going into your center? Or was it primarily meditation and silence?
Well, I did meditation. In the morning, particularly, I would bring in light into, from way above down into the top of my head, and I would envision that as a kind of shower of light that was slowly going down into my head and all the cells and my brain and my eyes and my my head, and through my whole body. I would just take maybe 20 minutes through this light shower all the way through my body, and I would feel it kind of pausing in certain places where I needed a little boost of light. I think I even stopped a toothache once that way.
That's amazing.
Various kinds of things. So that was one thing that I did. I would stop and listen for guidance. Sometimes I would take out my journal and just write, freeform writing, to see what was coming through me in a meditative place, and sometimes got clarity about things through automatic writing or through freeform writing. I actually joined a women's gym and got my body moving. I needed to get, sitting was not going to do it for me. I really needed to get my energy flowing in my physical body. And so I did that, and that always felt good. Watched what I ate. I paid attention to what my body wanted and didn't want, and found that it really changed my habits of eating. I lost 40 pounds, actually.
Yes. And you look great, by the way.
Oh,
you look beautiful. She does, everyone.
She looks gorgeous, let me tell you, right now.
That's right.
I'm so glad we're not on Skype. You would not like to see me today, but anyway.
She's humble. But I'm listening to everything you're saying, and I feel, I can literally feel how important it is that when people go through experiences where they've lost themselves, how important it would be for them to know some of these things that you've done. Actually, you have a formula on how to go in and connect with yourself that is just beautiful. And I kind of wonder if you're writing a book about your life yet. It's just
not
a question.
Yet.
Not yet?
That's an interesting word, yet. Not yet. I'm thinking about bits and pieces of things to write about, but I haven't thought about writing about my life.
You
think about your life and you just wonder how interesting that would be for someone else. I might write it for myself or my children and grandchildren, some vignettes or...
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I had thought about writing about my life based on all the cars I've owned.
What a great idea, Jane.
Range. I've named every single car since I was 16, and I can run through the whole list. I mean, I think probably the most unusual one was this really old Saab, an old three-stroke Saab that I called then the chronically depressed Swede.
What did you call it? The chronically depressed.
Then the chronically depressed Swede, because it would die on me.
Oh my God!
Constantly die, and it was an old car. You had to pour oil in the gas tank while you were filling it up. It was very weird. But
wow. The
thing about the cars is that they represented different phases of my life. And if I were to write a chapter related to each car, I would pretty well cover my life. So I might do something like that.
Well, put me down. You sold a copy already. I'd like an autographed copy. really. I listened to your story, and I'm fascinated at how you transformed yourself over and over again in your life and the lessons, how you've gathered the lessons and the wisdom that you offer just by how you live. So I'm excited to hear how this, I'm excited to read how this comes out on paper. You know, it feels like it would be really cool. Okay, so I was also wondering something here. At this point now in your life, right, are you doing something that you feel is really on target and you feel really passionate about doing, that's part of your soul's calling at this point now?
Well, the interesting thing about the classes that I'm taking, I guess the passionate, I'm kind of looking right now to see what's my next path of work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that it's taking time for me to feel into what that really is, because the things that I've been doing and excited about, which have been acting and actually singing too, the storytelling that I've become very interested in, I certainly care about children and their development and the challenges that they experience today, so many of them. But I'm wondering if I'm going to be putting something together about that. So I'm just feeling into it right now. So I think that I'll see pretty clearly what my path is going to be next, but it's still forming itself. things around creativity, creative expression, children's development, living their fullest potential are really present for me, at least.
Yeah. Now, are you also doing a workshop sometime in May or something?
Oh, yes. In D.C., a friend of mine, Michael Mack, who is an actor, director, filmmaker, and I are offering a workshop over 4 Monday evenings called Living Your Personal Legend.
Hmm.
And that workshop goes into stories, myths, legends, some very famous films with heroes and heroines, so that the people in the class will be looking at qualities that they have, you know, within themselves, their authentic selves, that resonate with certain legends and myths and stories. And they will be using some of those, and we'll be doing some dramatic presentations and a lot of interactive work to help them become more empowered to live their own personal legend, whatever that may be. And it's related to Paulo Coelho's book, The Alchemist.
Beautiful.
That was the impetus for the workshop, where he says that each one of us, many of us at least, have within us dreams, visions that we haven't lived yet, but they're there. That's the magic within us. And that if we take the time to really go in there and take a look at what those dreams are, they may have been with us since childhood, then we can bring them forward and live them in some way in our lives. So we hope to see young people, middle-aged people, elders, it doesn't matter, in this class. And I think it's going to be really exciting.
It sounds wonderful. Tej, who do you think your legend might be?
My legend?
Yeah.
As far as an actor?
Your life or a legend?
That's a good question. John Wayne, partner.
John Wayne.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's right, Pilgrim.
Can we be... I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tej.
I just said, that's right, Pilgrim.
So, Jane, in the legends, can you be anyone you want to be?
Of course.
See, that sounds like such fun.
That sounds fun.
It does, doesn't it? And it sounds like the kind of work that raises your frequency because of the fun.
Well, that's we're doing.
Oh, it will be fun. Yeah. Well, let me tell you a little story about that. Michael taught this class once to at-risk young people in the D.C. inner city. And the focus of that class was Don Quixote and Sancho Panza, the story of living the impossible dream, and what were the qualities that Don Quixote had that caused him to put on his armor and go out and, you know, try to make the world a better place. And there were these two young men in the class who were homeless, and they had not ever had a job. And they were so engaged in the story of Don Quixote and Sancho Panza, his sidekick, that they decided that they would put on the qualities of Don Quixote and that they would go to McDonald's and apply for a job. And so they stood outside McDonald's one day and put on that persona. One of them was Don Quixote, one of them was Sancho Panza, and they really empowered themselves.
Mm.
And they went into McDonald's, applied for a job, got them, and now they are no longer homeless.
Wow.
So it's amazing how we can, you know, the myths and legends are timeless because they embody qualities and stories that just run right through the human journey. You know, we all have so many of the same facets of these stories within us. So if we can take a legend or a myth or a tale that somehow speaks to humanity and see where we are in relation to anyone that we might pick. It's exciting, it's magical, it's empowering, and who knows what we might do with it for ourselves.
Yeah, and don't you find, too, that legends are also part truth, that there's these elements of truth connected with them so often?
Oh, yes, that's why they're legends, yes.
Uh-huh.
Why they go down through the centuries.
Yeah, yeah, that's really exciting. Thank you for doing that workshop and for all the work you're doing with the kids. And I've seen how you are with them, and it's just so wonderful to watch you with them. And you have a real gift with children, too, and I so appreciate that. And I know I'm not alone. TJ became a grandfather just last week.
That's right. Yeah, I did.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Your life is forever changed.
It's like that every day. My life is forever changed.
That's because
that's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting. So, Jamie,
well, I want to say one thing for an appreciation of you, Joy. One of the things we did in our storytelling class down in Asheville, after we told a story, rather than criticizing ourselves, we had to give ourselves an appreciation. Something we appreciated about doing, but. And we did that with the other tellers. So I want to give an appreciation of you because you came down here and did a fairy godmother party for my two granddaughters and their friends.
Wow.
I think they were about 6, 7 years old, and they came over to the house all dressed up and had their big fairy wings on. And you brought the magic of the fairy godmother to the house and to our backyard, and you talked about fairies, and they drew them, and you made sure that we had food and sparkly things and honey and all kinds of lovely things to take out into the yard and put under the bushes in various places, especially for the fairies. And it was a magical time for those little girls. They each got a fairy name, and some of them were talking about that for months afterwards. So, thank you.
Oh,
you bring the magic yourself.
Thank you. Thank you. I just so enjoy them. And I really, really feel that our kids need to feel that ongoing connection with the magic now more than ever. Because so much, and from what I've seen, so much resolution they bring actually comes through when they're in those magical spaces. They look at the world so differently, and they see what can be instead of the stuff sometimes that is. And I think that avenue of magic is really important. But I have to tell you, I had a grand time down there with those girls. They were so cool. They were really cool. I knew I was in when we danced together and they started calling me fairy godmother. I figured, okay, I passed whatever test I had to go through.
With flying colors.
Yes, and you were quite the fairy godmother yourself that day, baking cupcakes and all manner of things. Yes, it was TJ, you would have...
Yeah, it was so fun.
It was.
The imagination, we just need to keep our imaginations alive all our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We need to keep that little child inside alive, don't we, Jane?
Yes, we do. That's
what I believe in, too. That's why I'm a little silly. I'm a
wonder,
little silly.
Curiosity, adventure. Yes.
And I'm in there, too. I'm with you guys, so... Jane, do you have any other advice you might want to offer our listeners from your experience?
Oh, gee.
I do want to say that Jane is also a school teacher, has been a school teacher. So she's had this very wide range with living the magic and also experiencing what it's like to do practical pieces in the system. And I'm just curious if there's something from this wide range of experience you have if there's something you'd like to offer.
Well, it's the, I think it's the message I learned from Ranger, my golden retriever, because in living with him for 12 years, I saw that what he did with all his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, whatever it is you love to do, do it with all your heart.
Mm.
And enjoy it, engage it. That following the heart's joy is so important,
mm-hmm.
for our health, our well-being, for we're here to enjoy life, and we can take it so seriously. It takes us seriously sometimes, you know. But I would just say, pay attention to what your heart says to you, what it calls you to do. Try not to second guess it with your mind,
mm-hmm.
because we can shut ourselves down with the mind saying, how can you do that? You know, the mind really only knows what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the creative part of us.
Yeah.
It kind of tries to protect us from going too far out on a limb, you know? And so sometimes the mind just needs to take a back seat to the creative urgings of the heart. And I would just say, you know what your heart is calling you to do and follow that and see where it takes you. See where your life takes you. It's an adventure. We don't know what's next many times.
Well, on that note, with those pearls of wisdom, we really want to thank you, Jane, for coming on and being our featured guest. And TJ, do you have anything you want to say?
I just want to say thank you very much, Jane. It was really nice to listen to your stories and your spirit. I can feel it right through the phone, so it's pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you are.
Well, thank you. Thanks to both of you. I really appreciate you inviting me to be on. I feel honored to be on your show, and it's been wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was delightful, and maybe you'll come on again sometime. Would you like that?
Okay. Oh, sure. Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
I want to thank our listeners, and I also want to just remind everyone about T-Shirts for Peace's website. I know it's right there on the side of the website that for the podcast. But let's take a moment to, in closing, TJ, you want to do just a heart connection, right? How about if we do that today?
What would you like me to do?
I would like you to stand on your head in the corner. No, I couldn't resist.
Hang on. Let me do that.
Ow. Ow.
The blood is rushing to the... Okay.
Okay. So you ready?
I'm ready.
Well, all right, right hand on our heart. Jane, if you're here, if you want to join us, we're just going to send a little heart thread energy out to all the souls on the planet. So, and wish everyone a beautiful, beautiful day as we do this. Right hand on our heart, left hand on top. Nice deep breath. Feel your heart energy moving into your right hand, up your right arm, around your shoulders, down your left arm, into your left hand. Now just send that out to all the children and all the souls on the planet. Pour it out, if you would. And again, we thank our listeners and Jane. send blessings to you, TJ. Thank you for everything.
Thank you. Let me get right side up. Okay.
Okay, you're good to go. So, we'll talk to you soon, okay? Thank you.